Here's what's coming up on today's show.
If you put long-term stress on your portfolio because you don't have a well-developed plan, that's where people can get in major trouble, right? And so we want to try to avoid that piece of it.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome in to the Retirement Cafe. Glad to have you on this show. We're going to be talking about cracking the nest egg. I love the title today, guys, but it is a big transition when you leave the workforce to live off your savings. It requires an attitude adjustment. It really does. And today we're going to discuss some of the issues to consider when you flip that switch from saving to spending your nest egg. So welcome in Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. Good to talk to you both again today. And I know this is a huge transition for families. Why do you think this is so important for us to be talking about today?
Well, I think even the best savers, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times this is where the best savers are the ones that have the most trouble right?
Yeah.
Because it's when you're accumulating money and then you go to spending it, it's totally different, right? And so it's a mindset that you really need to change. And so we just wanted to talk through kind of some of the pitfalls and some of the things maybe to look out for and some strategies today.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I always think of good savers, let's say they had a goal. I want to get to $100,000. Then they get there. Then it's 200 and 500 and a million, right? And you're never really satisfied. You know, it's like there's a lot of things. Like, I don't care if you golf. Like, and if you're like, oh, I want to break 80.
Yes.
You break 80 and it's like, okay, now I want to do this. And I think that's the challenge with it is like you've been working for a long period of time to do something or accomplish something. And then all of a sudden, I need to like reverse it and start taking it out.
Right.
And I think mentally that's just really hard for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. And so in that accumulation phase too, like just maximizing, right, your growth.
Yeah.
That's really what you're doing
as you're
talking about. So it's like, I want to get to this number, you know, and maybe you have goals throughout that time where you're just constantly trying to increase what you're doing. And certainly there's going to be some step back that occur, you know, with market volatility and things, but you're always moving forward and you're always growing that. And that's a different mindset.
It is. And the thing is too, to me, like you said, it can be stressful in markets like this year. Markets are down, right? But like, if you're a saver and once you really understand it, you're like, oh, that's okay. I'm getting more shares. You know, like just thinking about, it's just not as stressful. Like, but when you flip it, which we're going to get into, and you start pulling money out and you see markets going down, that can cause some major sleepless nights, right?
Yeah, because now, like you said, it most of the years it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're taking money out, guess what? It's probably going down or staying flat or, you know, whatever, depending on your plan. But and that takes some getting used to. So, you know, today we're just going to talk about some factors that are working against you in the distribution phase. Right. So how is that changing? And just some fundamentals, mm-hmm. right, to help you avoid some common mistakes that occur.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's been lots of people that have gone through it. Yep. And we want you to have success when you go through it.
Well, you mentioned the emotional impact of transitioning. And we kind of talked about how, you know, it's probably going to require a bit of an attitude adjustment for some people. And I know going from saving to spending, it probably seems like it might be difficult for some people as well. So what do you do to help advise people on how to reframe their thinking?
Yeah, I think we always start with education, right? Because, I mean, this stuff it's super important to understand some of the basics, which we're going to get into. But I think a lot of times, you know, emotionally, people just need reassurance. Like, hey, we've done this. We're going to show you how to do it, right? Today, we want to talk through some of the things you have to be aware of. But the reality, don't you think a lot of it's just emotional? Like, you have to have confidence that the plan's solid.
Yeah, because who wants to take money out wondering if they're making a mistake, right?
Yep.
I mean, especially in retirement. So you want to be able to be self-assured that the things that you're doing, you know, aren't gonna hurt you down the road, right? And so it's so important to be educated, as Dan was talking about, in this area.
Yeah, and so some of the things that we, you know, that are important to understand are like dollar cost averaging and how it works when you're pulling money out. So just take a second and talk about dollar cost averaging when you're saving. So when you're saving, it's kind of a nice thing, right? So if say let's you're saving $100 a month, keep it really simple. You know, when the market is, you know, let's say it's $10 a share, right?
Yep.
At current prices. So we know if I put in $100, I'm going to get 10 shares, right? Well, if all of a sudden the price drops to five, well, wow, I'm actually going to get 20 for that 100 bucks, right?
Right.
So over time, what it does is it actually allows you to buy more shares when prices are down, fewer shares when prices are up. That's just called dollar cost averaging, right? What happens when you're taking it out?
Well, it's just the opposite, right? So if the market's down and you're taking a fixed amount out, so say you need $6,000 a month, well, just say, right? And you're having to sell more shares, right, to achieve that when the market's down, right? And so when the market goes back up, there's just less there to recover from.
Yeah, and you have to be aware of that. And that's a reality, and it's always existed, right?
Yes.
So there's ways to deal with that. And there's ways of good planning that you can take advantage of some of the things that are out there. But the other thing is same thing, really, is compounding works in reverse, right?
Yes, yeah. So your money compounding over time, right? So what we're talking about here is just the growth. Yeah. So we know that the early dollars, when you save, a lot of people listening to this probably realize this, the early dollars saved are able to grow, and then the growth of that money is also growing. That's the compounding effect. And so that just works in your favor when you're in accumulation, and when you're taking the money out, it's also working in reverse.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you got to be careful as to how much you take out when. A lot of this is around timing,
right? So think of this, for example, somebody early in retirement that takes out way more money than is sustainable, they don't have the ability for that money to recover down the road because it's not compounding for
you. It's gone, right? It's not in there. And that goes in the next one, which is sequence of returns. So all that is like, so let's take that example that Brent said, somebody has to take out more money early. Well, they could get very lucky. So sequence of returns is just when returns come. We know that if the, I'll give you a simple example, if the market's average, just call it 10% over long periods of time, we know rarely do you get 10% in a year.
Right.
It'll be like 20%, negative 5%. You know, it's all over the place to get to that 10% average, right? That is called the sequence of returns, how the returns come on an annual basis to get to that long-term average, right? And so if someone was fortunate and they had to take some extra money out early, but they happened to do it in years where they had really good returns early on, they might be fine.
Right.
But if they're taking out a lot in the early years, it's bad returns, that could really hurt them a lot, right?
Yeah, and so we're going to talk some about that, but that's where your plan really needs to account for these things.
Yep. And you get into the other thing, time's not your friend anymore, right? So in accumulation, you save the more time you have for the assets to compound. So time's your best friend when you're saving, right? Yeah. But when you don't know how long you're going to live and everything else, it can be the opposite when you retire.
Yeah, because, I mean, we all want to live a long, healthy life, right? But when you get to retirement, if you live a long time, then you're going to need income for a longer period of time, and you're going to be drawing that down for a longer period of time. And when you're a young saver, and we talked about this earlier, like that amount of time, like those dollars that you save early in your career are your most powerful dollars, because you get the growth of that money compounding as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you look at those examples, you've seen them where, like, say a kid's 20 and they start putting money in a Roth early on. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
How much it grows. It's like a lot of times you look at it, you don't even believe it's true. You're like, that can't be true.
Right. Cause it's just the amount of growth compared to what you put in is just unbelievable in that case.
Yeah.
And then the other thing in accumulation is that mistakes can be fatal.
Yep.
Right. So when you're adding money to it, you can recover. But when you're taking money out, you probably don't have the opportunity to add more money because you're retired. Right.
Yep.
And so you just want to make sure that the things that you're doing are going to work for a long period of time.
Yeah. And I mean, that really goes into, we did a prior show, I believe it's the episode right before this, about avoiding catastrophic mistakes with investments. And this is a good example. It kind of plays into that. Because a lot of times people get ready to retire, they're not really sure the best thing to do, and they can make some poor choices.
Yeah.
And they can get bad advice too, to be honest, right? But those mistakes can be fatal because you just can't make it up, right? We're not talking about down markets. Down markets happen.
Right.
Down, you know, a lot of people think I retired, I can't handle any down markets. That's not really true if you look at long-term numbers. What you can afford is making really bad investment choices or taking out way too much at the wrong time.
Yeah, where when you're saving, obviously, you can always add more money.
Yep.
You can, you if you were in bad investments, right, or not the investments that weren't appropriate for your situation, you can change those investments. You're still working. Or you can work longer. You can save more, spend less. You know, whatever is going to be the – there's all kinds of options in retirement. A lot of those are gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and for sure.
Well, you mentioned some of those fundamental concepts that help avoid some of the common mistakes that retirees make. And with pitfalls like market volatility, excessive withdrawals, longer than expected withdrawal periods, what do you feel is most the most important fundamental concept for families that are entering this distribution phase?
Well, we talk about this a lot on this show, but when you're going into retirement, having an income plan that's sustainable, right, and that you understand is just really, really critical. And so we want to, that's the key thing that we want to do. And that takes number crunching, right? And there's some different ways to go about that. If you're going to do it on your own, we're going to talk about a couple of different ways that people go about doing that. But it's always best to, I think, work with somebody who does this on a daily basis, find a good certified financial planner to help you come up with an income plan.
Yeah. The thing that's so interesting, like everybody focuses on investments. Investments are very, very important, obviously. But a well-structured income plan can make up for a mediocre investment. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the thing where, because, you know, we always talk about stress on portfolios. And so the goal of a good income plan is to not have long-term stress on a portfolio, but to have short-term stress on a portfolio, meaning that we can manage stress over a short period of time because you can do many things, you know, which we'll talk about, to do that. If you put long-term stress on your portfolio because you don't have a well-developed plan, that's where people can get in major trouble, right? And so we want to try to avoid that piece of it.
So there are a couple different strategies that we'll talk, you know, briefly about, but some things that people do are they'll live off the interest and dividends. So they'll buy investments that are generating an income, right? Maybe dividend paying stocks or bonds. And then as those payments come in, they're living off of the interest.
Yeah, whatever comes, right? Yep. So that like reminds me, like my grandparents were, you know, it was a different time, but they had a pension, they retired, their money's in the bank, they'd buy the CDs and whatever interest they got was kind of their extra money, right? And it was safe, right? Because you knew that it was never, you were never going to lose your principal in that case. Now, to be honest, your principal, you know, when you look at inflation, you get all that, maybe you are losing some money, but it basically does keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good,
thing. And you always hear people, well, I don't want to touch the principal of my investment. It's a pretty common thing for people to do. The other one is set up some type of a withdrawal plan, right? So we hear, and we've talked about on the show, a lot of people will talk about the 4% rule. So that means you can take 4% of your investments each year. So if you had $1 million, for example, you could pull $40,000 off of that throughout the year to as your income, and then have that just go up each year with inflation.
Right.
It's a pretty common one.
It is. And that's called the total return kind of option, meaning that you're not just taking dividends. The dividends are, everything's kind of reinvested and you take out that 4%. And if you look historically where that number comes from, it's very solid. If you have a well-constructed portfolio, basically 25-year periods of time, pretty much every time you had more money left over than what you started with after taking out that 4% every year. So it's solid. It's a good way. But the thing is, we're going to get into more details, but you don't want to think of it just in those terms.
Right.
And we'll get into that. But the other thing is like what are called a bucket strategy. And those have become very popular because, you know, it's a little easier to understand. So it's this concept of creating buckets of money. So like you might have like a bucket of like really safe cash type assets that you would use for a year or two, right?
Right.
And then over time, money would just slowly shift and refill that bucket.
Yeah.
So like visually, it makes a lot of sense for retirees because they can understand it. Like, okay, I see this money's going to... So you might have a bucket of super safe, maybe a moderate risk level bucket, maybe more of a growth bucket that's more in stocks and things like that. And people kind of understand it, right?
Because you're just shifting things from long to intermediate to short-term needs. Right. And so, I mean, that makes sense. there are some issues with all of these.
Yep.
And the issues are that it doesn't consider all the other resources that you might have. So Social Security, right? Like, how do I take that? How do I use that?
Mm-hmm.
How does that offset my need or whatever, pensions, different things like that. And we know that when you coordinate all that stuff together, that's how you really are able to be successful long term. But those are some good strategies for somebody who's a do-it-yourselfer. It's just important to think through a lot of those other pieces as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing that's interesting what Brent's talking about is that, so if you just made the decision, withdrawal decision, based on maybe one of those three options, it's kind of in a vacuum. It's just like, that's all you're just thinking about, oh, how much money can I pull out? And you're not necessarily coordinating the other resources that you have, right? When you coordinate, the advantage is oftentimes you can actually create more income in a safer way.
Right.
Which, like, I'll give you a simple example. Like, maybe you decide, hey, I'm going to take more out of my retirement accounts, maybe even 10% for a couple of years in order to push off my Social Security. But by doing that, I have a higher guaranteed income longer. Or, you know, it's just a simple example.
Yeah. And the mistake that people will make in this is use that 4% rule example that we gave, $1 million portfolio, taking 4%, $40,000 a year. People will think, well, $40,000 a year, plus I can turn on my Social Security, that'll give me $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 60, I'm good, right?
Right.
Well, that's, I mean, that's not really probably the most sustainable way to go about it. And you could probably do a lot better than that if you coordinated all your resources together and figured out how to maximize each one of those pieces.
Right.
Right. And let's be honest, I mean, technology has really helped us in this area. And so there's a lot of technology that we use in the office to help people understand, hey, yeah, we are, like Dan talked about, we're going to put some stress on your portfolio, right? Because between 62, for example, and 70, we're not going to use Social Security.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to put more stress on it, but once you get to that point, you won't need, you know, you don't need as much from your portfolio. So you want to realize that technology can really have a big impact here on helping you design that income plan.
Yeah, and like I always tell people, I'd rather have, you know, if say my target income was $80,000, right, and I could structure it in a way that by the time I was 75, that $80,000 was being produced all with guaranteed resources like pension, Social Securities. I'm a lot more. I feel better.
Peace of mind.
Yeah, for sure. Even though I had to use up more of my maybe savings early on, now I don't have to worry about the market at 75.
Because what we talked about earlier too, where this is all tying in, is just like, you know, compounding working in reverse, right? Well, now you don't need your portfolio as much unless there's some type of an emergency, health or other thing. So you're giving that portfolio time now to rebound after you've used it some.
It can be really powerful.
So having an income plan is obviously a critical fundamental concept for families who are cracking that nest egg. What's another fundamental concept that families need to understand?
Well, this goes to kind of what we were just talking about a lot with your income plan, and that's understanding the taxes that are going to happen. And so a lot of times people really don't have a good understanding of this. And there's some key things that I think that are basic fundamental ideas. So the first thing you need to understand is, where are the assets?
Yes. Yeah. Like basically what kind, you know, is it, what types of accounts are they in?
Right.
Where, you know, what are the tax implications of them? Is it all pre-tax money? Do you have money in Roth? Do you have money in the bank after tax? Like, where are your assets? Because you need to understand they're all taxed differently,
right? That's pretty much the reason why they have different names on them, right? Like, why is there a Roth and why is there a traditional IRA? Well, that's just basically how it's treated from a tax standpoint when it really boils down to it. I mean, that's really what matters here. And so having an understanding of that is really, really important. And then understanding the sequence of the use of those assets, right? And how that impacts your taxes.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you think of taxes, like, we always kind of challenge people to understand that when you're working, it's kind of hard to control taxes. Like, you know, you make your income, maybe you're putting money in a 401k where you get a little bit of a tax break. But at the end of the day, you don't have a ton of control, really. When you get to retirement, especially if you have money in these different, what I would call them, tax buckets, like tax-free, after-tax, pre-tax, you'd be surprised how much control you can have over how much tax you pay each year. The reality is you're going to pay taxes, right, over your lifetime. So the game that you're playing is, how do I reduce that as much as possible?
Right.
Because what that means is the less you're paying to the government, generally the more it's in your pocket and in your family's pocket.
Yes.
And so it's really so important, like you're talking about the sequence of how you use those assets. The other thing is understanding your opportunities, right? If you do have a low tax
rate. Right. So many of the mistakes that would occur in retirement might be for a family to think, you know, wow, I have this after-tax bucket that I can get at early in retirement. For the next several years, I'm going to pay no tax,
right?
Instead of thinking of that as an opportunity, they think of, well, I don't have to pay any tax this year. Like I'm winning somehow, right? Well, we all know that there's things that are going to occur down the road probably that are going to compound and make that decision worse. So those low tax years are opportunities to control your income and control your taxes.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's the thing is where it's so important to project out if you follow, like looking at different strategies. Well, what if I don't pay any taxes early? What effect does that have later?
Yeah.
Does it have an effect, right?
Yep.
You know, in identifying that early on, because it's like a lot of things in life. Oh, if I can figure out, you know, identify where that problem could exist later, now maybe I can do some things today to make it better.
Right.
Right.
So think about that. What income do I need? How am I going to get it? And what are the tax implications, not only in this year, but in future years? So when you start to look at that, you can really get a good understanding of your situation and how taxes are going to play out over a long period of time. But the only way to do that is to have that income plan first, right?
Right.
You have to know what you're going to need. And we know that's going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But making sure that you've thought it out is really going to help put you in a good situation.
Yeah. And the last piece, it's really what we call asset location. So if you have these different kinds of accounts, what investments are you holding in different ones? So as an example, you know, we talked earlier about dividend paying stocks, right? A lot of people have bought investments based on the dividend. Like that's very attractive. People like that. But as an example, what if you had a bunch of those dividend paying stocks outside of a retirement account, meaning they're in an after-tax account and it's spitting off all this income every year?
Right.
You're going to get to a point where you have to pull money out of a IRA because of required distributions. And you don't really need the income from those dividend-paying stocks, but you're going to pay tax on it,
right?
That's an example of where maybe dividend-paying stocks and that after-tax account don't make as much sense, right?
Yeah.
And so understanding, like, you know, where if I have a Roth and it's tax-free, hey, that's a great place to put growth assets.
Right. We want our most aggressive pieces to go in there because we want that to grow, right? Because we're never going to pay tax on that money again.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, taxes are a big concept that you have to get a grip on. Are there any other fundamental concepts that families should be aware of as they go into this distribution phase?
Yeah, I mean, really, future transitions are going to occur, right? They're going to happen. Nobody's life is in a straight line.
Right.
And we've talked about this, haven't we, on other shows?
Yeah, we've had an entire show about this. But it is good. You have to know that you're making an informed decision and that it's never going to play out exactly like you think it is. But having contingencies in place to help you when those transitions occur is really going to help you be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about flexibility at the end of the day. Like, that's what we talk about. When you create a good income plan, you don't want to be stuck. You don't want to be stuck with, like, you know, that's one of the issues we have where somebody maybe annuitizes all their money where they're you know, they have this guaranteed payment the rest of their life. Well, we don't know what your needs are going to be. You know, you could, more than likely, it's going to be uneven.
Right.
Like you're going to have, oh, I need a roof on my house 1 year. You know, maybe another year you stop traveling because of health issues.
Yeah.
So your expenses go down. You just have to be able to build in flexibility because that plays into everything. You know, we talked about taxes here a minute ago. It's all integrated.
Yes.
Your investment plan, your income plan, your tax plan is all integrated. So like you can't just kind of set it and forget it because as your life changes, if you take that approach, you're going to lose out.
Yes.
Right. That's a big thing to understand.
Yeah, very big thing to understand. Well, some great information as always, and I think this would be very helpful for people that are getting close to that shift to the distribution phase of their life and cracking that nest egg. So as we finish up, Can you guys go ahead and recap it for us?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important just to understand that retirement planning is completely different than when you're accumulating. So when you, as Ben's said a bunch of times, cracking the nest egg, I love how he says it. It's really, you know, it's really important that you understand that it's different, right? And that it is going to take a little bit of an adjustment. And especially for those really good savers who have really, really been invested in their long-term success. We've seen it over and over again. That's the people that are listening to this show are those people, and they really need to get that mind flipped to change from that accumulation to distribution. And then once you begin building it, it really requires a lot more attention, right? Once you crack that nest egg, your investments, the timing of those distributions, tax implications, understanding that of the distributions, that's really, really important. So it's just important to have a well thought out, constructed plan. And as always, we recommend that you work with a qualified, certified financial planner to do that. And we're always available if you have questions.
Absolutely. So if you want to get in touch with Avery Wealth and Dan Reese and Brent Oliver, you can do so at averywealth.com. As he mentioned, both are certified financial planners and can help you get prepared for this next phase of your life. If you want to call as well, you can do that at 517-783-1695. Well, great conversation as always, guys. We appreciate your time and look forward to talking soon.
All right. Sounds good, Ben.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.